Your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent the Indian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. Way I do in the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Don't take no bump talk, no drive on no joke.
Good night, Bahamas, and welcome to another wonderful edition of Inside the Inner City that premieres on Guardian Radio every 6:30 to 8 p.m., except holidays. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. And you can text us, powered by BTC, at 422GR96. You can also listen in 969 Cable Bahamas. It's a partner company. They're talk show host premiere, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And most importantly, I would like to say thanks to all of the callers that call in on Friday. You know, you guys make the show a very interesting show. You guys are providing a lot of solutions to the country's problem. I'm happy to be able to have to start a conversation, and then you guys chip in, because by you chipping in, it shows you that we're all headed in the right direction with some of the topics that occur on the show. And it's glad to hear that many of you have the same view. And I just want to encourage you guys that you are the ones who also can make changes, because when you're on these platforms and you have the opportunity to speak on radio and, you know, you're home, but you're reaching a lot of people. And I want you to know, a lot of people listen to hear your response. You know, when I'm walking, I'm sitting down, people say they listen to the callers, and the callers are on page and, you know, making a lot of sense. So I want to congratulate you guys that you are actually fighting for your country. And some of the suggestions and solutions that you're giving on the airwaves is making a tremendous impact. And I know for a fact that it's reaching the powers to be, and it's eventually changing their stance. And listening more, and it's going to make a lot of changes in the country. I have my special guests in studios, the husband and wife. They've been together close most over 40, 50 years. You know, it's amazing. You know, so you could take a seat, right or left. There's your air phones.
1 second, let me close the door.
Yes, and I'm going to say again, yeah, special good night to each and every one of you, and all of you calling on the radio on Fridays. You give a tremendous impact on what our country needs to do in order to provide a better generation of young people. And before we begin, I just want to give a community announcement. Our two guests in studios, but let me make it real quick. Form Candy Gibson. Let me get her. Sorry, I was so busy, I didn't even pay attention. Okay. I like to promote people like Candy, because we're all in the same boat, just like the Apostle Higgins and his wife in the studios tonight. They have been doing it like for 40 years, so anytime I have the opportunity for my persons who have been contributing, now mind you, these persons who have been contributing have been doing this because they're doing it because they know it's the right thing to do. They've been living in society in these inner-city communities, and they see the struggle. They come from the struggle, because, you know, they themselves had to struggle in order for them to be able to survive, for them to help others. So what you see we have in the studios, there are persons who are very, very important to the country. You know, some might say they have been around, like I said, 40 years. Now you can imagine being in an inner city for 40 years. How many people you're going to be able to make an impact on? You know, this is groundwork, and this is very difficult groundwork. It takes a lot of time, a lot of commitment. And then they have to go all about, you know, asking for funds and, you know, and like sitting there living themselves. But I just want the country to know that poisons like candy foam, they are very unique and very important to the country. So let me show you what candy has here at a foam organization. So if you're in the Nassau Village area or you live in the Bahamas, okay, if you need a job, you can go and bring your resume. If you need a passport picture, you can go by form. If you need to apply for a business license, national insurance, health insurance, if you need national training, okay, all is going to be available on consulting. If you want immigration consulting, if you're minor infractions on your police record, and if you qualify to have it expunged, you can come May 11th at 11 a.m. to at R.M. Bailey Park. You know, it starts at 11 a.m. and ends at 4 p.m. Like I said, May 11th. I already left. Sorry. Man, I was late on this. Very late on this. But anyway, you still can go to Candy form, because it still is available, because she still has the connections to make these things happen for you. So check out form. She is doing a tremendous job. She's speaking up, you know, for the lives of young people who are being lost, and speaking up for those that are not being lost. And okay, so again, check form, like I said. Okay, we have two wonderful guests in studios today. Before I begin, I'd just like to say something. The Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas and Parliament just passed a legislation, anti-gang legislation bill. And this is designed to counteract the social development that's occurred over the last 40 years in the country. But it's something interesting he said at the end part, when he said that, you know, we are passing these bills in order to curb crime and to stop those involved, and also to bring, punishment to them who harbor gang-affiliated people in their houses and et cetera, and et cetera, and et cetera. But he said something very important that reflects back to you too. He said, you know, even though we're doing all this, it still comes down to poisons who those individuals have to look for role models. Okay? He's still saying with all the legislation they passed, he said it still comes down to role models for the kids to look upon and to be like those. Even though you're passing these bills, you're still not going to make a dent. You understand? Because, again, our society is broken. And what you two are being able to accomplish over the years, working in government, working in the inner city community for the last 40 years, is exactly what the Prime Minister is referring to. Because in these communities, they don't have leaders like you guys. You understand? It's rare. It's difficult. It's hard. Financially burdened. You know, people have so many similar problems that you have to deal with. You know, poverty, light, have a bad kid. Yep, you need you guys to come tutor them. You know, you do your dance performance. I've been watching for years and years and years and years, and not being able to help so many kids, you know, get a career. And he said this. And he also said, if I'm correct, let me interpret his words correctly. He said that family structure, in other words, has to be also developed for these at-risk kids in the community. How are you going to be able to do that unless you're poisoned like yourself, Candy and C.B. Moss? Now you can see he gave his life to this kind of stuff. Now you see he's over it. That's it for him. Right. And one day it's going to be it for all of us. Mm-hmm. Who's going to carry the next generation on to fight for those in need? So let me get my point. It comes down to the country has to make a very, very difficult and a very financial decision. The words of the Prime Minister carries a lot of weight. The Minister of National Security, the Honorable Vivian Munro, he stated that crime is all our problem. This came with the Minister of National Security. Mm-hmm. I'm out. He has all the statistics. And he said this. And he said, what are you going to do? So he's telling the Bahamian people, well, look, he's hard on the police and we expect the police to do so much. But then he said, as the Minister of National Security, he said, you know, crime is everyone's problem. The police can't solve crime alone. Mm-hmm. So now we have this information available now to know, to let the Bahamian people know that we are not all on board. And if we don't have the right persons and places to train and for people to be role models and leaders in the community, then we're going to keep on having child abuse cases increases by 87%. So you never, ever, Mr. Higgins and Mrs. Higgins, could get rid of crime. Because if we have an 87% in child abuse cases increases, how in the world are we going to be able to deal with crime when we get 100 murders per year? These same statistics here that is in the newspaper is an indication of what's to come.
Exactly.
If we just base all of our resources and just on all our information, it comes down to this. Just to begin it.
Yes.
And I mean, if we get 80% of child abuse cases increases this year alone.
87%.
87%. And then we get this year, and then I'm going to let you all take this. We get this year again. Child abuse. I had one more. Oh, okay. But anyway. The next one was stating, Then we get here. We get all the data, Ms. Higgins. One in four women in the Bahamas is victim of violence. Mm-hmm. Now, these two, what I'm talking about right here. Here you go. The child abuse cases increases by 87%. Mm-hmm. And then we have one in four women is victim of violent crime in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what that means? What do you think that means, sir?
We don't have a bright future. Because those abusers who've been abused will eventually become abusers. If I've been abused, then I think it's okay. So I'm going to become an abuser. And it continues. The cycle continues. And so we have to be real in our country to step forward to stop the cycle. Because it's a cycle. And so how are we going to stop the cycle is important. And what you said is so true. People like us, and more like us, even like you, who come from the lifestyle of gang violence, have to step up.
Yes, sir.
We can't just decide to sit down and read the paper and say, okay, that's good, that's what's happening. Or go on Facebook and do the talking that we do. Facebook has become where everybody talk, but there's no action.
New York.
We need more people of action in our country. My wife and I, we decided, before we got married, and her saying was always, she's not going to be an echo in the country, she's going to be a voice. And I kind of grabbed that on because I understood that quite well. We cannot just be an echo, we have to be a voice. And more so than a voice, we have to be people of action. And these things will only stop when people of action come to the forefront. We need more people in our community to stand up and to take a stand, not just with marches, not just with talking on the radio, but we need people to come to the forefront and say, listen, we're going to go into the inner city and we're going to make a difference. More churches need to open their doors to the people in the community. They need not just for Sunday morning service, but you got to open your door so that people will be able to come whenever there's a need. You know? And so it's important that we who stand as leaders in the country and those who are, because really, there's a calling for this. I was thinking about Nehemiah in the Bible.
Yes, sir.
Nehemiah prayed, right? And when Nehemiah prayed, God put the passion on Nehemiah to rebuild the wall.
But a passion.
Yeah. So you can't be praying but something when you ain't got the passion to fix it.
Mm.
so but that's what it's all. That's what it's all about. God gives you a passion to rebuild. And our country needs rebuilding. And so we need men and women to stand up and everybody take their part of the wall and build it. See, I can't build the part you build, but I could build the part I build. But if I build in my part and you build in your part, we'll have a good wall.
Go ahead, it will connect. Go ahead, ma'am. And it's wonderful to see you again.
Thank you so much. Well, you know, I do understand that women, when we look at women, women are the ones that bear the children.
Yes, ma'am.
That comes from her womb. That child is connected to her. So, you know, there's something about an instinct, like when something's wrong with your child or something's not right, you're feeling it, but you don't know what it is you're feeling. So can you imagine a mother child is being abused? Children are being violated. The mother is being violated. I've known where mothers have to run out of the house 2, 3 a.m. in the morning because a boyfriend or a husband is beating them. The child is in the corner watching. I've had a young man tell us how he used to be in the corner while watching his mother being beaten by his father. Today, he's on a second, or I think almost a third wife. And guess what the problem is? He's been beating her. And like Pastor said, the cycle continues. Now, who's going to grab a hold? And I'm talking about no matter what career he walked into at one point, he decided he wanted to be a pastor. I got a call from a young lady in France. I've met part of the creative arts ministry. Both of them are pastoring.
Wow.
But her husband is beating her.
Wow.
So it has really nothing to do with even your spirituality. This is a cycle that has to be broken, and this is an emotional cycle, a physical cycle, and it is a spiritual one. So whether it's a demonic spirit or whether it's a, whatever that cycle is, it has to be a transformation of the mind and even the heart. Because it's like a generation curse.
Yes,
and I'm abused. I've been abused all my life. And then all of a sudden, I decide I'm going to abuse someone else. Why? I'm still angry. I'm still bitter. I haven't forgiven the one that abused me, the one that raped me, the one molested me. So, and you find young girls are covering up in male-like clothing because you raped me as a young girl. I don't want to look like a girl anymore.
Wow.
So maybe if I look like a boy, you won't rape me. And this is a cycle. And, you know, you're wondering, why is this girl dressed like a little boy? And they've gone through this from a child. And so working with kids like we do, we find out a lot of things that the normal society would just pass by because the children confide in us. We know when they've been touched. We know who molested them, or we would know certain things that are going on. And we have to deal with that. My husband being a former police, you know, he knows exactly what to do and how to do it. But we get to a point where we threaten them. Like, if you touch her again, or if you touch any one of them, we're going to lock you up. And not being afraid to say. So we've had to put a stop to many things by going in those community centers, going in the community, and giving those children things to keep them occupied day and all day. You know, so these are some of the things that we just have to do.
Wow. So, you know, when the Prime Minister was making the comment, and he's saying these things about building up the kids them and building up the family structure. I wonder what family structure he's talking about, because I want to make you guys a prime example. Now, if he's talking about a family structure, like how you two have been together for 40 years, or probably even longer, you've been working together as a team. I don't know if you have kids, but I know your outreach is large in the country. You two are a perfect example of what the countries need. You know, we could take a look at Sir Lyndon Penland and Lady Penland, Clement Maynard, Mrs. Maynard. If you look at the family line, what I'm trying to explain to you, you could see the decency in the family line where
They take care of their grandkids. The grandkids take care of them. The family take care of the cousins and et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
The family structure is that most of the family members are not in problem with the law.
Mm-hmm.
But it basically starts from the two of you come. So I'm using you as an example. We need more examples, like persons like yourself, to be an example for the younger kids in the country, saying, you know, if you work together, go through the struggle, plan the future, plan wisely, and let's work with all of these things. It's going to be ups and downs, but let's keep ourselves together, because there's a something greater, and the something greater is what's going to come for me and you with the next generation of our family line. And and you guys are a prime example of that. What we're seeing now with you two, we're not seeing that no more. That this is basically now, when you look at the COVID-19, it shows you we had that one of the highest rate of divorces, not only in the Bahamas, but around the world in that particular time.
And also abuse.
And abuse. So if we're looking for someone to set a prime example when we talk, because I always listen to them talk about the family structure, so I wonder what family structure they're talking about.
Let me say this to you. The difference when a husband and wife comes together, when a man and woman comes together and decide they want to get married, right? The pastor or whoever's going to marry them have an awesome opportunity to make sure they understand what this is all about.
What's it all about?
And I believe in our country, too many people are getting married.
And they don't know what it's all about.
And not going through marriage counseling.
I get it, right. Okay.
And I think that's one of the mistakes people are making and the church is making, because we're marrying people, but we are not making them understand the ins and outs and the ups and downs in marriages.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one problem. When my wife and I decided we'd be together, we just don't be together for marriage sake. We married for ministry. So everything we do together. When you tell me, say, bring your friend on the radio.
That's what I saw.
That's my best friend.
I like that. I love that.
So when you say, bring your friend, I say, honey, I get on the radio.
I love that. You're listening to this?
Because she's not just my wife.
She's your friend.
She's not just my friend. She's my best friend.
Wow.
Okay? So awesome. So we are best friends. So when marriages can be like that, that you were best friends. We could be locked up in the house all day. We ain't been around and fighting. We talking. We planning.
1 second.
Yes, sir.
So you know what's happening now? So we got kids in the house.
Mm-hmm.
You have two persons.
Mm-hmm.
And all they're seeing is calm and happiness. And they're getting the love that they desire from these two. They're not saying, you shit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Boy punching your mouth, or
yeah,
in the bed getting breakdown. You know, just one bedroom folks. You understand what I said?
Yeah.
So what these children are experiencing now,
that's different. Yes.
It's a home.
Yeah,
it's a home,
because you don't hit who you love.
Okay, go ahead.
You don't destroy what you love.
Okay,
if I say I love my wife, I can't punch and beat her.
Yes, sir.
You understand what I'm saying? So. But the bottom line is, we could be together all day.
All day. Because you're friends, yeah, and that's your best friends.
We can be, and we discuss things all day. We plan all day. What you going to do? What you doing? Where we going? Blah, blah, blah. That's the sort of thing we do. And I think it's important for couples to be like that, that you could sit down and plan and discuss without rather than fussing and carrying on.
So you're not letting no one manipulate you, and you're letting no one manipulate you?
No.
No, no. But as a matter of fact, when we first met, we sat down and said, what are your plans?
See, I always said this. Listen, what do you do?
What are your plans? Mm-hmm. And where do you see yourself 5 years from now? And the late Dr. Miles Monroe taught me that, because he was my pastor.
Wow.
He says, first of all, when you meet somebody, you find out where they're going.
Y'all are listening, ladies and gentlemen, okay? Out there. Listen
closely.
What is
your plan? So he began to share his vision with me. And everything that he shared was exactly what he said. Well, first of all, I want to have a community center.
Wow.
And that was not in mind. But he said, I want to have a dance company, Junkanoo Dance Company. I wanted a dance company because I had a dance school anyway. And then he said, I want to travel and give them experience to share our culture around the world. I was traveling and doing that. And he loved the elderly and helping children. So both of us had the same passion for the same thing.
So your spirit meet.
So when we came together, as a matter of fact, my grandson always says to me, you know, I call him King Henry.
King Henry.
He's my king.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
When he see how I treat my husband, when my husband treat me, he always said, boy, I wish I was King Henry. Grammy, I wish I was King Henry.
I see.
You know?
Okay.
So my grandchildren, they watch and they see how we treat each other and what we do for each other. And so when we sit down and we talk, we plan on, we need another community center here. We need, and he'd come to me and say, listen, I see a building through the street and I think I've got about 15, 20 kids from that area. Instead of us going, our truck and buses are like,
I've seen over the years.
He said, why don't we just get another shack or another community center in this area? And I'm like, okay, how much is that going to cost? Because things come, it comes out of our pocket. We ain't got no sponsors and we go here and there.
That's why.
And so I'm thinking, okay, that's another $500 we're paying rent for another center. But then when I think about it, you know what?
It's weighted.
The children. But listen, when they are around us, it's like, oh my God, it's like, Lord, for the sake of the children, the compassion, the love. It's like, how could you hurt a child? And when you hear them conversate, and he would be like, okay, look, what did you do? Somebody hit someone or somebody said to steal this or that. He said, that's it. Don't come back. Go. Next day I see him, same person on the top of the truck.
I
thought you told him don't come back. He said, I can't do it.
He said,
we're not going nowhere.
You know, they know you guys care for him.
So that compassion and love and the Lord always provided for us. Remember when we first started through Windsor Lane. And he said, we're gonna see if we can get that shack. Of course, Prodigal Son had it. And he told Pastor, look here, I'm not giving this to nobody, I'm gonna give it to you. Well, I went through there and I was like, oh my God, where's my husband bringing me to die? When we first went through there, the gunshots going off and when the fight starts, the crowd comes from one end to the next.
Yes.
We close up and lock up the kids in the shack. And eventually, those children learned that when the noise and the shooting start, you are not running outside.
Yes.
You're staying right here.
You're running into trouble.
We would have Bible study, and they would stay right there. They would not move. And so we get to that point where we went in there. We paint up the building. The police, they used to bring us buckets of paint. When they see the change in the community, they say, we don't know what you're doing, but whatever you need, we can bring it for
awesome,
you.
Awesome, awesome.
The books, the pencils, school supplies. The people across the street at the bar.
Oh.
Anytime we're having church, we'd have it on the outside in the front of the building. They closed the bar down. They would come and sit in the seats.
Wow, they were
very
respectful.
As a matter of fact, there was one point they were taking up offering in the bar for us and bringing it over to the church.
You see, because they see the goodness you guys are doing.
Children. They said, my goodness.
And I want to add to that too, especially with our relationship.
Because
I think it's important that the nation know we are blended family.
A blended family.
Okay, blended families don't do well in this country. What I'm saying, she don't have no children for me. I don't have no children for her.
Wow.
When we got married, she had four, I had three.
Wow.
But our children live like one.
Wow.
In fact, her oldest, my youngest child, and her youngest child, you can't tell them they ain't brother and sister.
Wow.
Nobody knows that.
Wow.
My youngest son, in fact, they even used to lie for each other.
That's how y'all became one.
We became everything.
The children became one.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make a difference.
But you know why it makes it? Know what this is? Because they see how you live as.
So that means you never curry favor with this one child, and you never curry favor with this.
No.
So when you're treating this one good, you're treating this one good.
Exactly.
And you're doing the same for this one, and doing the same for that one.
And the thing is, I didn't have any daughters.
Wow.
She gave me two daughters.
Wow.
And the oldest one is my chef.
Your chef?
That's my chef, because when I'm hungry, she makes sure I eat.
Wow, you see?
The youngest one. You see what I'm saying?
The youngest one, he have spoiled. Put her through university, buy her her first car. Now her two sons, put them through St. John's. Now two daughters, putting them through. It's like...
You're listening, mamas? See, when I talk about a model family, now I didn't know this was going to happen, but I just said, let me bring Ms. Higgins on now. You see, this is what I always wanted for the nation to hear, on what we're looking at as a model family that we could use for example. You know, the Prime Minister's talking, but if he wants this to happen, or anyone who wants to run for leadership in the opposition, you want to be the next Prime Minister of the country, or you want to be the next Minister of any one of these seats in the country, you guys are going to have to understand the importance of getting voted into office, the responsibility, because these two persons in the studio have sacrificed their time and years. You know, understand? Finance. And if you look at it, listen, people don't understand this, no. Now, ain't that us no millionaires? But if what I spent in the country on a year could be close to basically $200,000-$300,000 what I spent on my pocket, that's going to the stores and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So over the years of them taking on kids, tutoring, supporting, without sponsors, okay? These people don't spend close to $2 million, probably $3 million. You might not believe it, but if you look at the spending, when you have to hustle and hustle and spending, and eventually in that 20, 30, 40-year period, if you look at what they spend, they never keep record, but the money would be just like that what they had done.
And I'll tell you this much, you know, and most people don't understand it, because being pastors for 20 in years, we don't have a building. Because we decided we'd put our money to build lives. So when people were building big buildings, we were building lives. So we built doctors, medical technicians,
policemen,
lifeguards, police officers, all the people who came from inner city community are now doing these things. And we didn't build a building when everybody else around us who started before us and started after us, then they're nice, beautiful buildings. We still on the park of a church.
So you all make a bright light in a dark spot, and you all were able to accomplish what many was not able to accomplish. You were being able to get some of those at-risk kids, boys and girls, who wouldn't stand a chance.
Exactly.
Right? By being not only guardians, but teachers.
Exactly.
Right? And educators.
Yes.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And supporters.
Right. Yes.
Because I know you show up some of their events, their graduation, all this stuff. So when they look in the crowd.
Yes.
And one of the reasons probably they even got this far is because they respect you. They respect you guys just like their mother and fathers.
Yes.
Some people even respect you even more than their mother and fathers. Because if you really look at it, not say to be disrespectful to no one, our mother or father.
No.
You know that some kids really don't have a good relationship, but they have a good relationship with people who they know is pure, who they know care for them in these inner city communities, you know. You know, that's why it's very important. That's why I want you to come on the
show. But you can imagine, we took the kids on Windsor Lane to China.
Huh?
For 10 years, we were taking them to China. And some of them even never saw the airport before we took them. Imagine going to China but didn't get a chance to go to Paradise Island.
They went to China.
China, all expense paid. And some of them even know where Blair States is.
And that's why I say exposure is a very serious thing for our behaving people. Listen, if we allow our kids exposure, you know, Mr. Higgins just said it just now, you know, he took the kids them to China. They didn't even probably even went to Paradise Island. Some of them never even went to the family islands.
Never.
We have seven of the kids. And some behemoth people have never left to even visit one of the family islands because we are so Nassau-centric, right? That we feel that everything got to happen here. Mm-hmm. But what we need to understand is that you could learn and empower yourself on the family islands and you'll start a great, great life.
Definitely.
With them. But the whole point I was hoping to show today is to ask those in power, when you look at 80%, 87% of child abuse case, one in every four women are victim of violent crimes in this country. With these statistics, what are we going to do?
Exactly.
Because this is just a cycle. And there's not going to be a decrease in 100 murders. There's not going to be an increase in the 1,700 inmates we have in the prison who revolve, keep on revolving, right? The unemployment is high in the country. We are not blaming nobody. What we are saying is that we have a crisis in the country, and we are going to have to say to ourselves that we are going to have to empower more people like the Higgins them in this country. the forms in this country. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to find a way on how we're going to put the resources in the hands of community-minded persons who live in these at-risk communities in order to curb 1 in 4 women victims of violent crime. Mm-hmm. And that goes back to the abuse that we're seeing with child abuse cases increased by 87%. These same little kids who are now being abused by their parents, their cousins, their aunts, and their family members. Ms. Higgins, she talked about experiences. Mm-hmm. What you think is going to happen? I think she said a young man is a pastor and he still is beat his wife. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what you think is going to happen in the next couple of years? Mm-hmm. So we have to say to ourselves, we have to find the community persons who have a passion and we're going to have to support them financially. And some of them themselves who are leaders might need tutoring and persons like that who could tutor them is persons who have the most experience and goes back to Higgins again. So that's why it's important that you take persons like that in position. Use them as a beacon and then gather other people under them. Let them help. Some people might need help in running that community center, may need help themselves and how to talk to kids because a lot of people want to help kids. But when they have these kids them say 1 or 2 little bad words, they get aggressive to the kids and when you get aggressive to the kid, it's just like you're going to make the situation worse.
That's right.
You're going to make the situation worse because they come from that other homes. Mm-hmm. Now, you're the one who they look up to, and you're going to say 1 or 2 bad things to them. You know, out of their frustration, the kid made a mistake, and then you're going to say 1 or 2, and they're going to look at you in that way.
Yep.
And it's going to be hard for you to ever build that trust up ever again.
Exactly.
Because they run out of the homes from that, and they come to you. So we have to invest.
Let me say this, I have a problem with the government investing so much money in a prison.
You
cannot put all that money in a prison, and they ain't putting no money, putting small change in community development, small change in rehabilitation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's important for us to take these various community organizations. Like, I saw that today, like ourselves, and use us. You know what I did today? I called Ministry of Social Services today. I said, listen, about 10 years ago, 10, 15 years ago, Pastor Carol, who was the lady in charge of parent National Parenting Program then.
And we need that.
I said, she came to our church, and she trained all of our persons, all of our leaders in our church, were trained in the national to be trainers for parenting.
We need that.
And I said to the person, I said, I want to do that again. I said, I want you to train all the members of our church. I want you to train all the members of all the organizations I'm a part of, International Men's Day, the Gang Reduction Defense Prevention. We want to be trained as persons who can train others to be good parents because we want to be able to go into the community. Because with the new bill that's come on board now, where you're going to send parents to jail who are not responding. Somebody guy now take the book and say, let's train the parents so the parents could know how to deal with a child who's involved in crime. They would be able to know the signs of gang, of when my child is involved with a gang. So I said, I need you to come. So they're going to call me back on Monday so that we could set up the training product. It would be a refresher course for us.
It should be
a refresher course. So once we get that set, I'm going to invite whoever wants to come and get a part B to get this training so we can then go and train others.
Remember I said it just before you said it, I just said training, right? Because I know it's a very important thing to train because I know a lot of people who are community-minded. They want to help the kids, but themselves, they get frustrated with the kids. And, you know, and then sometimes I have to step in because I have the most experience in that. I know how to deal because I come from at-risk kids. So I know how to deal with at-risk kids. You know, Ms. Higgins gave a prime example. The kid did something. He said, nah, don't come back here. But the next day, see, that was his punishment not to come back.
I go pick him up.
Not to row him, not to do this. Right. It's punishment for doing wrong. It's not to come back here today. But he still came back the very next day because he knew deep down inside who was his guardian.
And I go and pick him up.
Make
sure. My wife said, what you doing with him on the back of the truck? I went and get him.
Reading the newspaper, that's what I'm really talking about now. $7 million overspent on sports events.
Mm-hmm.
Now, think about this. This is a waste of taxpayers' money. And this is what you were referring to. I know you're not speaking directly there, but indirectly, this is what you're talking about, Rachel. 7 million here. You know, and the thing is, what bothers me is you look at the major development and investment the Bahamas government, especially Chester Cooper, he's doing a phenomenal job as far as bringing investors and what he's doing in his constituency. Right. He's building up his constituency with homes, with businesses.
And you can't blame him.
Because he wants to save his seat. So he's great for the next 25 years. Yeah. You're not going to be Chester Cooper down there. not with the investment he is making happen for his community now. He's providing community centers. He's providing low-cost homes. He's providing opportunities with hotels. And so that part of that thing was going to be blinging. Mm-hmm. The Honorable Prime Minister is doing this thing for us well. But, you know, because they have the most resources.
Right.
But for us, who live in the inner city community, we want to develop it the same way Exuma and Chad Island, Rockland is getting developed. Y'all give a prime example. When y'all get together, you tell the wife you want to get a community center, right?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all was able to accomplish that. And y'all brought a bright light in there. And in there, y'all bring doctors, y'all bring policemen, defense force officers,
teachers,
right? So y'all brought a bright light in a dark spot. And when y'all went there, it was a dark spot.
Yes.
So if you two could go in a dark spot where there's all kind of killing going on in this community, right? Mm-hmm. And the wife say, what's my husband when you carry me to go get killed, right? Because she know this lion's dead, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay? But with God's guidance and the passion and with the wife's support and your support, you were able to go in there strong.
Yes.
So just say, that whole community right up in there had a lot of bad people or misguided people, you know, because they wasn't allowed the opportunity. They didn't have the opportunity, right? So now they become hardened, right?
Right.
So now when the bright light go in there, some of them start to, you know, they end of that. But when they see the continuous effort, they see the kids them coming in there, their cousins coming in there, their own sons and daughters coming in there, they start to,
Listen, we used to have the drug dealer right next to the building. And when we get there coming Sunday morning, everybody back and forth buying their little marijuana, back and forth, back and forth. We got to the point and said, listen, we have your niece and nephew in here.
See,
we have
put
your
this in
sister and brother in here.
I put this in
you have to find another spot. It cannot be here. It's either us or you, and it ain't gonna be us. You have to go on another street. Well, you know, we used to go from street to street ministering. And one time we went about five streets over. They were like five streets from there.
They moved
They found another spot. But here it is. When things start to happen, we would go in there into the community in the big yard, wherever we go. And we
have
church. As a matter of fact, at one point, there was a killing right next door and they burned down the building next door. We had the police mobile stay there for a week. And we took our church out of the building, set up a tent, and we had church there for the whole time until that thing was cleared down.
And let me tell you about the big yard. The big yard is a community all by itself.
Yes.
Of okay, let me tell you, that is inside your church, right? Mm-hmm. That's you,
Benzoline.
Now listen, that is a government complex, but not only the residents who live there, you have other people from around the neighboring community harbors in there.
Yes.
And listen, you're talking about hundreds of people, so that community center serve a great purpose in there. But could you imagine if they were to have the proper funds, like this $7 million overspent on one sport event, which is the taxpayers' money. But if you could say to yourself, you know, let's put $1.2 million annually in here, and at the end of the year, we want to see 100 students who, 100 persons graduate from here with their business plan, put it in test. And I want that same dark spot what you see in that community right there. You're giving kids sniping to come to classes now because this would come to $1.2 million because you know the kids them at risk. So you're going to have the sniping, but you also want to pay the directors because you got to make sure pay them over this $1.2 million. They got to be able to see if they can at least get $80,000 to $100,000 per year. So it stopped them from themselves from, I'm not saying it, you guys, but a lot of people who would go into this type of field would need to be properly paid because it's very difficult. But if we want to save the country, right, paying the directors or persons who run the organization is a good thing because now the money could go exactly where it's supposed to go. So at the end of the day, the government and the country is going to see 100 persons who come on this program with their business license, with their small business somewhere set up in the community somewhere. Mm-hmm. And they're also going to have the proper training from the training agency to make sure money management, you know, anger management, mm-hmm. right? And they still is going to get tutoring even though when they graduate to make sure that in the next 5 years we want to see where you mm-hmm. are, like you asked mm-hmm. before he was your husband, mm-hmm. what you're going to be in the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. So we want to see what's going to happen in the next 5 years with these 100 individuals and what they're going to contribute in that same small community. Could you imagine that happening? You got about 50 persons now graduating, have small businesses set up in the inner city community. It could be barbershops, it could be cosmetology, it could be your guy who yes. fix TV.
Yes.
And everyone in the community working in plumbers.
Exactly.
You know what you could change?
Let me tell you how important what you're saying, because even now, through the Ministry of Youth where I work, we have an all-boys after-school program.
Yes, sir.
At the Marjorie Davis Institute, right on the Bow Street.
Yes.
Right in the inner city. I don't come out of the inner city.
What the name?
Marjorie Davis Institute. That's the old ladies' school.
I think that some ladies been on this show the last year or so.
Okay. No, this is a new program we just started.
Okay, okay. So you guys.
Yeah, so we have basically boys there from 7 years to 17 years. Mm-hmm. And we are teaching them now. Apostle Randy Hanna. You know Randy?
Yeah, that's my cousin.
Randy is teaching them construction technology. As a matter of fact, today, Randy had them learn how to paint.
Oh, that's about it.
So they can get a painting job or they can have their own painting business. We teach them sound engineering.
Wow.
Okay? And we also teach them how to do the limbo, because limbo is a dying art in the country.
Yes.
Only three limbo dances in the country.
And tourists is booming in the country.
And a limbo dance can make $500 just for 15-minute show.
15 minutes can make $500?
Right. Exactly.
And guess
for
what?
A limbo dancer.
We have 9.7 tourists visited the country.
Exactly.
And now we're on record pace for 10 million.
Exactly.
So this is a purple opportunity right. now.
We're teaching them careers that they don't have to have a degree for.
That's right.
I could use my hands.
Yes.
If I could learn how to hook up a sound system and run, I could be a DJ.
Yes.
I could be a sound engineer.
Wow.
So those are the type of things we teach these young boys right now, today. We are every day, Monday to Friday, 3:30 to 5:30, through the Ministry of Youth, Sports and Culture. We're doing those type of, but that's what we need to do with our young people. As early as we can, we need to give them an opportunity to know where my focus is. I want to be a plumber. I want to be an electrician. I want to be a technician. And then we could channel them in that direction. Even our young men who are in jail, while they're in jail, most of them coming out.
Yes.
At some time or the other.
90, they say 95%, 97% will come out.
Will come out. And let's not forget the women prison.
Okay.
But we have to take them and teach them a skill, find out what their gift is, because God gave everybody a gift. And so if we could teach them and help them to hone their gift, when they come out, they could get their business license. They could become their own. They ain't got to worry about, you have a record, so you can't get a job. But you could become your own business person.
I could fix phone, so I don't need to have a thing. Because I could fix phone. I could fix your phone, so mm-hmm. I have a company.
Exactly.
You understand?
I could be a dance teacher.
Okay.
So you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So all those things, we need to, our government needs to take into consideration to empower organizations to set up programs so that these people could be, when they come out, they can have a job, they got a skill, they could go to work, they ain't got to worry about going to rob or steal the teeth again. And we need money to do it, and the government has to empower the persons and give the persons the money and make them accountable for it. That's all it is.
The Prime Minister said no longer than a few days ago that the government has the money to do these programs.
Mm-hmm.
He said it, or this mode. He said we have the resources to do this program. So, Mr. Hickens, before we go any further, there's an event coming up at the Big Harvest Community Center.
Yes, sir.
Yes, that's Rally in the Park. That's Bishop Ferguson.
Bishop Ferguson, yes.
I just want to talk about it real quick.
Okay.
This is Bishop John Ferguson. He is the community leader in the area of Grandstand.
Right.
Thursday, April 25th, 2024 at 7 p.m. at the Big Harvest Community Sunday School off of Woods Alley, off of Market Street.
Yes, sir.
Bishop Ferguson has been doing this for a very, very long time, and he's going to have a program along with Dr. Carlos Reed, Dr. Eric Fox, Bishop Ferguson, myself, and also you, Mr. Higgins.
Yes, sir.
So You do us the honors.
Okay. So what we're going to be doing that night on Thursday, April 25th, we're going to have a community crime forum. Yeah, it's engaging the community voice. Mm-hmm. So the whole idea is to engage the people in Bayntown on how to solve crime in their problem, in their community. We want to hear from the community. So all of these presenters will be presenting what they are doing to help with the crime situation. But we want to hear from the community, and then it's about bringing the community together to start the fight.
Yes, sir.
You see?
Yes,
the community has to be a part of the fight.
Yes.
And if the community comes to be a part of the fight, the MP have to find the money.
Yes.
The Ministry of Youth, Sports and Culture have to find some money. The Ministry of Education have to find some money. The government have to find some money, because the community is ready now to step up
and
say, listen, we come into fight as a community to deal with our situation in our community. And I'd like to see Bayntown be one of the first communities that we already did. We did the Grove already, and out of that program, the Grove community, Urban Renewal, the National Neighborhood Watch in the Grove, and also the church are coming together to start to fight the problem in their community.
Yeah.
So they are about to establish a number of programs in that community. So we want to do the same thing in Bain and Grandstown.
Wow! And just a little suggestion. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine? This is just five persons who have contributed greatly to the country over the last 20, 25, 30 years in the country. And this is just five. Could you imagine if we were able to grab as many as these persons and then say, let's take the small business program that Samantha Roll in the office of the Prime Minister has at her disposal, and then we start to add them on into these inner city programs.
Yes.
Make sure us, Mr. and Mrs. Higgins, get the small business development,
right,
and they could at least provide 100 or 50 persons with a small business opportunity, and they'd also provide the training.
Yes.
Yeah, all this could happen. Mm-hmm. See, in these dark spots, these same little small suggestion that we're making now can be the change that the country needs, because you'd be hitting all the dark spots in the community and it start to expand and spread, because all you have to do is put a bright light. You know, I was watching this movie, and I think it's The Last Man, starting with Bill Bruce. Not The Last Man. It named something like with The Last Man. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it was a war movie, and they were warring against the Chinese. Mm-hmm. Let me show you how serious this is. So, now, the U.S., just the Billy's helicopters. Mm-hmm. Now, you have a million-man army of Chinese troops on this ground. Let me show you how one helicopter or one bright light could make a big difference. So now you can imagine have a million guys on the ground, and all of them get the AK-47s and the artillery pointed up in the air. But they were able to manage to get one helicopter with 24 soldiers. Mm-hmm. One U.S. were able to get 24 soldiers to go and get through that firing range and land helicopter. And when they land helicopter, them same 24 soldiers start to clear out.
Yeah.
They start to clear out that little perimeter, and they start to say, hey, we done cut down the trees, send the next wave in. And when you look at that one, they go and expand.
Right.
Then they expand. Mm-hmm. Then they take the 1 million army of Chinese soldiers and they push them back to the brink. So all I'm saying to you, it just take a spark
to get a fire going.
Yes, yes.
If we were able to put the resources that the government has, all the solutions that the country has and all the personnel, and the poison, the passions are raging in the country. Mm-hmm. But the only thing we keep on adding on, we keep on adding on laws and legislation. Mm-hmm. And we keep on doing it. And we don't know where to start. All we got to do.
Legislation don't stop crime. I learned that a long time ago as a former police officer. But my wife is doing some things.
Go ahead.
Working with the young women and working with in the area dance. So I wanted to share one of the things that she's doing that's going to be a bright spot.
Well, you know, the arts is what we really use to attract the children. We do missions through the arts. That's how come we go to China, Paris, the United States. We take children with us. We just took like 52
kids. Just give them a lot of exposure.
Yes. And what we do is we train them here. And when we train them, then we take them and expose them that they go and represent the Bahamas through the dance. Yeah. So when you get in the community and children hear, oh, we're going to dance, but when we dance, we're going to go to China, or we're going to go to Paris, or we're going to go to the United States, and we're going to showcase this dance. They know they're going somewhere. And so what we've been doing throughout the years is we've been using the art of dance. So all of these students that you see are doctors now, policemen and teachers and all these, even the young men that are in the Jankunu group, he's gotten jobs for certain places. They now married and have a family. And I mean,
nah,
they all
married,
grown up,
nah,
married.
Married nah,
and
nah,
still,
family.
As a matter of fact, the first guy that came up to the, our community center, he got him a job at the hospital. Today, he is still there.
And married, he's married with wife and children.
Wife and children. I'm talking about so, 20 years later.
So you're also a mentor.
And
so,
he was out of the big yard.
So, right? Yes. Of the big yard. So let's, 1 second. So the mentorship you all are given and the leadership you all are given, it rub off to these same at-risk kids. And yes. They say to themselves, watch y'all too. Mm-hmm. Watch y'all too. And it applied to them. Mm-hmm.
We're using the arts. Because his background is the arts and mine is, I used to be a lead dancer in the casino, one of the first Bahamian dancers in the casino in Grand Bahama.
Wow.
And then when they built the Crystal Palace Casino, I came to Nassau, that's why I brought me to Nassau, and I became the lead dancer there. So when I gave my life to the Lord, I never stopped dancing.
You have to be in a different way.
I begin to give my gifts and talent back to the Lord.
Wow.
So what I begin to do is I started teaching children. I begin to use worship songs and gospel, the word, so that the word will get into their spirit. The song is there to activate them, but the lyrics is there to renew their minds. And then the gift of dance that brings the joy to them takes away the depression, oppression, if they've been molested, abused. For that moment, joy comes into their soul. So while they're dancing, there's no space for sorrow, anger.
They're free.
And so we've been using that throughout the years. It's been a tool and it works for us. So we go on missions using the arts. We go in the schools, teach children. They have the 11 urban centers. We give our time free. It's a seed that we plant in the hearts of children. We don't charge nobody for nothing. They don't pay us for nothing. We have a regular job. But we go out and we plant seeds in the community. So every year, we have we either do a dance conference, workshop. If it's independence, we do a dance parade. Whatever it is in the nation, we gather up children. As a matter of fact, next week, the end of this month, is International Dance Day. About 4 or 5 years ago, we became president and vice president of the World Dance Council,
which
is partners of UNESCO. In Paris.
Yes, ma'am.
And as a result of that, we took liturgical dance, which is that which is spiritual, took it into the World Dance Council.
Wow.
They had never had that.
They never seen it before.
No. And so they in turn brought their 59th World Congress to the Bahamas because they want to see. And so we had about 13 countries. There are about 300 countries, but 13 of them came along with the president. And they came to see this liturgical dance. They saw it was something that in the Bahamas and this side of the
something
world
rare
that they do.
Beautiful.
And of course, they got an experience because we had hundreds of our children just worshiping and dance and praising.
Awesome.
We're using our culture, folk dance and the Jankunu. And so now we celebrate every 29th of April, International Dance Day.
Wow, awesome.
And it's a part of UNESCO, the UN. So this coming week,
yes, ma'am.
The 29th, we're going to have about 500 kids.
500?
At the National
Center. You get more smile on your face. She's so happy.
Yes.
I mean, you feel anyway.
500. Last year, we had a little over five, but the building only
holds
so
much.
So they
you got to break it down.
It can't be no more than
awesome.
That.
Awesome. Call it coming to you right now.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And so we did that. And on the Friday, we're going to have students from the government schools.
Yes, ma'am.
Primary and junior and senior schools. And then on the Saturday, we're going to have the community, the church dance ministries, the urban centers, the community at large, dance schools. They're going to come that Saturday.
Wow.
Sunday, we're going to be on a park. My husband is going to choose the park. We have a group coming
from
California, and we have some out-of-town guests. They go on missions. They just came from South Africa with thousands of young people. They went into the school using the arts.
Wow.
They're like us. That's what they do. And they're going to be here, so we're going to be in the community somewhere doing the dance. And then on the Monday, which is International Dance Day, we're going to have a parade from Pompey Square into Rawson Square. Flags and streamers and whatever it is, just to showcase international. It's all free. We're not. We as a matter of fact, we got some money to help with some food.
I have to cut you off, Bob. That's too much. We all have time for yourself.
Together doing what we do.
You see, MPS. Let me show you. MPS. You all listen. That's the example. See, this is an example. This is what the country needs for example to see how people are doing these things and they're doing it freely. See, listen.
Yes.
You all better listen. There are people in this country who love this country and these people. One love the old, one love the kids. But combined together, they love everybody. You understand? We're going to take this one call. Ali, we can take this one call, please. Let's get this call on the line. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, good afternoon. Good evening, Scrooge, and
good evening to you as well, brother.
Yes, Scrooge, I mean, you always bring on positive people. My name is salute you for that, you know, and I want to salute your guests on their efforts in trying to provide the youth with another option, you know what I mean, because this society isn't giving you any like that, because idle hands is truly the devil's workshop.
Yes, sir.
And it's wonderful how your guest, the lady, she spoke about the arts and creativity, because that is what we are about. You know what I mean? We are creative beings, and, yes, and we enjoy that type of thing. And like I said before, it gives the children something else to think about and gives them the chance to like find value or get self-worth,
yes,
from doing something as positive as opposed to like getting into all this negative behavior trying to find self-worth, right? But the pastor, the gentleman, and he said something that was crucial, Scrooge. He said, you can't pray for things that you do not have a passion for.
Wow.
Right?
Yes.
Now, I agree with that 100%.
You see people...
But what I agree with is that you shouldn't apply for a job that requires you to see to the best interest of people if you don't have a passion for it.
Yes.
Right? Now, the reason why I said that to you is because everything rises and falls on leadership, and I'm going to talk to them on a religious level, right?
Go ahead, sir.
Now, the Bible tells us that when the righteous are in power,
yes,
the people are happy, mm-hmm, and when the wicked are there, the people cry out, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the people are crying out. Now, what I'm waiting to see is the type of man of God who will address the leaders of the nation. Mm. Because in the Bible, you see where they address the individuals who were leading in regards to the tax burdens and different things that they were putting on the people.
Yes.
All right. Now we are witnessing individuals who are leading us who refuse to even uphold the laws that they are supposed to hold in terms of the thing where they're supposed to reveal assets and different things like that. They don't even want to do them things. You understand where I'm coming from now? I want to see religious leaders who can hold them accountable, because there's nothing that we can do. I mean, even though we might save a few here and save a few there, the government is the only institution in this country that can make a decision or decisions that can positively affect all of us, regardless of our religious belief.
Yes, sir.
All right, now we need to set those things aside and understand what the real problem is. All right, now I've been hearing about marches and prayers and different things for years, and I know that the individuals who hold these things are truly sincere.
Yeah.
Right? But I am angered because the individuals who are truly responsible for all these things are let off the hook. All right? And not only that, now you see they put this gang bill in, right? Now they're going to put more punishment on a society that they are responsible for creating, right? And they themselves don't want to uphold law. They themselves are really accountable to no one, but they want to pass laws that put more pressure and try to hold other people accountable for things that they really ain't accountable for, because we are all a part of a society that is broken, you know, and we need to fix the society, because if you're going to hold parents accountable for their children's actions, then this may sound silly, but we should hold God accountable for Adam and Eve actions also, because he was their parent.
Ooh,
all right? Now, you know, parent better than God.
Yes,
so if God. So if God's children could go astray, everybody else's children could go astray. But like I say, Scrooge, I appreciate you, brother, for bringing on positive people. I want to encourage your guests in the positive things that they are doing, because regardless of their religious belief, the works that they are doing is tremendous in the lives of individuals. Because like I say, when you give when you can give a person like a gift of playing an instrument or dancing, like how the lady says, that opens up a whole new world to them. So I just want to encourage them in those positive actions. But at the same time, we need to stop engaging in actions that we hope that will bring a change when they will not. The only way change will come if we address the leadership of this country and force them to do what they are required to do, and that is to make life better for each and every one of us. Thank you very much, Stuart, and I hope you all have a good night and very good show. I'll continue to listen. Yeah,
thank you very much. You could have a good night, man, because that was a mouthful. Oh, man, that was just powerful, man. We got a next caller. So I don't know if we could take this next one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City on Guardian Radio.
Hey, Scrooge, it's always a pleasure to have an opportunity to speak on your show.
Yes, sir.
I must congratulate you also for bringing the provocative topic that is so necessary, especially in our society, to be engaged in, to have not just the voices of those whom we have elected to lead us, but also the followers, i.e. the Bahamian people, that is expecting the leaders whom we have elected to act and behave in the best manner possible for the Bahamian people as examples to follow. I said all of that just to add to what the previous caller was saying, and that is, you know, it is sad to see that you expect the sheep to follow when the shepherd is actually gone astray. And the shepherd in this regard is the Bahamas government, the ones whom we have elected into our parliament that have seemed not to be acting in the best interest. And I'm taking this very seriously now. And I want you to listen to my words very carefully.
Go ahead, sir.
This government is not acting in the best interest of the Bahamian people. When it comes down to peace and prosperity in this country, there are a number of factors here that we have to really look seriously at in order to understand why our society is broken in the manner that it is. First and foremost, we understand that the world went through a world pandemic, and the Bahamas also went through two hurricanes in recent times. When we can see that there is no system as yet, with all of the travels that this current administration has done, but yet the poverty level in this country, and see, poverty and crime is tied. Don't let no one fool you. Because when people are desperately trying to survive in a country, and then you have the issue of lack of hope, because there seems to be no true hope ahead, then this is where the problem comes in. So you have poverty, and you have hope, the lack of hope. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you notice within recent times, to bring this to a head, do you see how many persons today are actually committing suicide or attempted suicide?
Yes, sir.
That should tell you where your society is.
Yes, sir.
The Bahamian people are hurting. And even the voices that you are not hearing does not mean that these people are not hurting. This country is not prosperous. We talk about how many millions of persons visiting these shores, 8 million, 9 million persons. But yet, where is the prosperity on the ground today to bring a semblance of hope for our Bahamian people to look at the aspect that they are able to sustain and feed their families, take care of their families, not with the bills that they have to pay, but also having monies in the bank in order to at least have a family vacation. Get off this rock for a period of time. Let them go relax and rest their minds. So when they come back, they come with a renewed spirit and a revived mentality. That is not happening. The average of us cannot even escape this island to go on vacation. Okay? And I said all of that. I'm saying all of this deliberately.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, sir.
Just to say that until we have people with vision in our parliament, and I'm not talking about the talks, now bringing the vision from the talks that they talk about and really bring it into real time for every Bahamian citizen on this in this country to begin to breathe comfortably, to begin to relax a little bit more, to begin to live without having this humongous taxation and bills upon them, but to begin to be Bahamians again in this country, nothing. And it's sad to say this, nothing that this administration is going to do unless the prosperity is actually hitting to the average person on the ground. Mm-hmm. They can actually feel it. Mm-hmm. They can touch it and experience it on a day-to-day basis. Ain't nothing in this country is gonna go forward, upward, and onward in the manner that we expect it to. And I'm going to leave it right there, Scroogey, because guess what? I get very passionate about nation building.
I see.
And because all I'm spoken to, and even right now today, speaking in the manner that I speak, people like me are attacked by those in leadership because we pick their cards. We see what they're doing. We see what they're not doing. Mm-hmm. And then when we expose it, then they want to try and come and take you out. So all I'm going to say to the Bahamas, this next general election is going to determine whether this country will go really back, or whether we will proceed forward, up, and onward, but even if it means new leadership from new people with a new vision for this country. This is what is so really, really needed at this point in time in the history of this country. Thanks for taking my call this evening.
Thank you very much, Emin. You gave us a mouthful as well. See, I told you guys, you're a prime example. You're not rich, but y'all are making an impact by helping out your community. So you're a prime example with family values. You're a prime example if you want something to happen in the country. Let's work with a family like yourself and then help others to train themselves in these inner city communities.
You know, he talked about Doreen and he talked about the pandemic.
Hold on a second.
Now, we are supposed to be a church.
Yes, ma'am.
We rented a building as a training center on Nassau Street. That was our next community center. We're always renting something to keep going with the young people. The Hurricane Doreen came. And we were blessed with a 20-foot trailer with just about almost everything in it.
Wow.
And what we did is we started to give out and bless people. Blessed because we got blessed. The trailer came in. And these are from people that we travel around the world blessing people. So when it came to our doorstep, they in turn was just sending stuff to us. We said, well, look, send it to one location, which was a church that we affiliated with, and then they put everything in the trailer.
And you help others, you want to
use. Now, exactly. What happened is the trailer, we were giving out to people. My husband would sit by the church, and people would come, and we'd give out. We'd send stuff to Abaco, Grand Bahama. And then all of a sudden, it was like the trailer would never get empty.
You know why?
Listen.
The father adds other teens to it.
He multiplied.
Say it again.
Like the trailer would never get empty. The further back.
It felt like we had the five loads of the five.
And it was like, I said, man, what else is in this trailer? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I knew why. All of a sudden, the pandemic hit.
For that.
And all of a sudden, my husband was to a point where he would say, listen, I need you to sign this check. He was buying like cases of like corned beef and all these kind of stuff.
And
putting two in a bag and one here and this and that. And I was like, man, I say, you taking our money in this the pandemic? But I would sign the check and we would just give because people were coming. So they thought we were probably working for the government because then they started giving out these food packages for the government. But we were actually continually giving things out of the trailer. So when churches were closed down, we switched gears. We never closed down. As a matter of fact, we were giving our people envelopes how they tied. We were giving them back.
Y'all is a church on the highways and byways. Where Christ used to walk, Yahshua used to walk in the highways and byways.
Yes,
so that's where your church was.
So guess what? Finally, when the trailer got empty, and he started writing, you know, come sign this check, and I want to get a couple of cases of this and that, because the people are still coming. One day, we went to pick up, I had sent him to pick up, because he have a truck. I said, they're giving out to the group of people that we had, they were NGOs that deal with young people, and they were giving out bags to them.
Ma'am.
And so, but we needed a truck to pick it up. When he got there, these people thought that we were giving out, you know, we were working for the government or something. And the lady said, that place on Nassau Street where people always pile up getting stuff. Said, who are you guys, you know? So we had a trailer. So the lady said, would you like to be a distributor? We're one of the distributors of food. Can you be one of the agents? It's like, what? So
line up all this. You see?
We end up going Mount Moriah,
Oh, wow.
Oaksfield, Yellow Elder, And this Fort Charlotte.
But the interesting thing is, those are the people who he worked with. That was Lend a Hand.
Oh, that was all. That's my organization.
Okay. So we ended up distributing food. So 4 a.m. in the morning, we would get a group of our persons, and we would go there to the building because people were lined up from like 4 o'clock
Mitzi
in the morning.
Mitzi said to him, and we
ended up giving food. So during the whole pandemic, we were open.
Our church never closed. Right.
So our churches were used to just give and feed people from all over.
Y'all have the real church.
Never
That's all
ran
it is.
Out.
That's the high-end Bible church. Hey, when the people needed you guys, you were working through the palm there. When the rest of the churches were closed, you were there.
We were open. We turn into a distribution. You just have to switch gears and meet the needs
of people. And God make all the dots, like he said about the wall.
Yes.
You want to take this last call?
Yes.
Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City on Garden Radio. We have the wonderful husband and wife team in studios who has contributed for the country for many, many years and still contribute. We need more prime example like this family in here. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, good evening, Scoochie.
Bless up, 52.
Good evening to your guests. And so, you know, they sound so happy, right?
They are.
One thing I would like to say is that I like how they're spreading the joy. And, like, you know, the thing is, I think the husband had said something earlier because I was in and out of the shop. He said something about passion. And so that's when I started to listen. You have to have a passion. So I realized it's their passion. And so God would always deal with that. And so when I look at what I was listening and when I look at what they're doing, then you know that it would be possible. What I've come to realize in almost 60 years on earth is when you give with a good heart, or like sometimes you just
become
in
abundance.
In the inner city, it's all kind of generous deeds that you have to do. But sometimes when you have to give selflessly sometimes, and then you notice in return, God will just all of a sudden something will happen right after you give someone something. You ever notice that, Scoochie?
Yes, sir.
Yes,
on a smaller scale.
Yes.
So I'm looking at, and I was also impressed with the fact that I think you said they teach in young people how to play instruments.
Mm-hmm. And dance, yes.
Yeah, great, man. And listen, and so the thing is, concentrating on the young people requires, I think, your focus on the right, the young. Mm-hmm. Because we can see that in our communities, we have a bunch of incorrigible young men. And they have made up their mind, like the PM said and like Chivago said, you know, they have made up their minds. But, you know, we can't give up on them, because even if you take one of the truck or two of the truck and you lead them in the right way, that's still a better, you know, because then other people who was like them would see them, right? Yeah. Right, Scoochie, like how you bring the different stories. So we have to look at it in that way. But then I was impressed with schoolmate, and I also was impressed with the best caller before Jeff. And I was impressed with what Jeff is saying also. But what I'm afraid is that citizenships and contracts and the likes are being given out so much, I'm afraid that I don't know who will win this election, because there's no freedom of information to find out how much citizenship they're giving out and what's going on respectively. When we look at the way how the government, and also what disturbs me with the government is the contempt for the Beeman people, the actual contempt. So then I come to realize, how could one stay in power by keeping people weak and pathetic and dependent? This is how you maintain power. I don't know if you guys see it, but some things you don't need people to paint for you. You have to actually put it together. So who's leading us? And every time, you know, I don't talk politics, but talking the truth interfaces with politics sometimes, and they have to wake up to the reality. They're treating us like sheep. And if you speak, or I heard a lady, I think it was Brittany on Howard Grant's show today, and the things that I heard was very disturbing. And also some dispute on Howard's show about land dispute and land reforms, et cetera, et cetera. But when we look at the whole management of the country, where we're supposed to have so much educated people and so much this and so much that, but yet still the country is sinking in a sea of calamity. How could I conclude that it's getting better in the Bahamas? Why would this model, and actually what I'm seeing, you're painting an external reality that I must believe that you want to deceive me. I mean, when will we as the Bahamian people really put aside our differences and come together to rescue this country and make the government and the police accountable? You know, hats off to the police officers also, because I see them, you know, the system with the court, right, Scoochie? Me and you would know, but this day, I saw, let's say, an example, a guy has 3 murder cases. He's wearing an ankle bracelet. He has an attempted murder added on to that, but yet still he has no curfew and he's moving around normal. So I can't see the police being cool with that, and I can understand that, but in order, these laws that you're talking about, that you want to implement, they have to lead by example and revamp the justice system and also put mechanisms in place to safeguard the public with rogue officers that we know exist.
Yes.
But what they hate about the Bahamian public is they don't want to acknowledge nothing. The police is infallible. Your boy say he was investigating the money that they said was missing was theft, $190,000 allegedly. But he says he's investigating it, but the investigation hasn't concluded. You don't hear anything. The Asian guy caught smuggling humans the other day. You don't hear anything about that. And we saw in the States where they actually sent a guy back who was over there for 20 years with children. Mm. Deported them. So I don't know, when will people stand up for us with anything? Bless up.
Okay. Good night, good night. There's a lot of good callers calling, you know, some are very frustrated.
Yeah,
with
of course.
But you guys are bright light. And if you're looking for an example, like they tell you, we have a model family right here. We have, and again, we have the resources in this country to get things done.
But I want to say this, Coach.
Go ahead,
I want people to, and this is how we operate. For us, it doesn't matter which government in power.
I was just going to say this.
We have an assignment from God, and we have to carry that assignment.
Not even the government.
And whether the government helps us or not, we are going to do what God has called us to do. And what we need is more people in our nation like that, who are going to fulfill their assignment, whether the government is PNPF and MTNA or not.
So when the caller's referring to us now and he said that, you know, we people need to stand up, but there are people standing up like yourself,
yes,
like
sir.
Myself, you yes, know, sir. Like myself, we're standing up, and we're fighting against the system, not in that type of way.
Yeah.
We just saying, no, that is a little too long for us and too much red tape. So we're going to do our thing to make some things happen this sport. And then if we could get some international partners and friends who we can link up with, like the trailer and stuff like that, for us to deal with this COVID-19 period and time.
Whatever we go through.
Yes.
I always tell people, we may be in the same fight, but I fight in different.
I fight different.
I go a different route.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So your fight is on the ready. Bring it to the forefront. But my fight
is on the ground.
On the ground, in the community.
Helping in our community.
Then the other person have to fight. You fight with the government.
Right.
That's your fight.
That's right.
That ain't my fight.
That's
mm-hmm. I can lose the battle if I go in that fight.
That's right. I can go this fight.
So you fight where your strength is.
Yes.
Like, mm-hmm. like David.
That's right.
David went with a sling and a stone.
Yes.
He didn't go to sword.
Yes.
But he won. He won. Why? Because he knew what weapon he had to use. And I think that's important.
What weapon
you
got to
use? Each one of us know what our weapon is and take your weapon of choice and fight with
it. And apply it.
And then don't get angry with me if you decide that, okay, I want to do this. And if I don't come with you, don't get angry with me, because that's not my fight.
No.
We use the word to touch the heart of these children. We don't just teach them to stretch or to go right, left, and move your hands. We use the word. For instance, if I'm exercising them with the head, take your head to the left and to the right. The head of every man is Christ. God wants you to be the head and not the tail. Take your arms up and stretch up to the right and left. And as I'm using, we are his hands and feet in the earth. So I have a scripture for every movement I give them. So guess what? They're getting the word. And they're getting the physical training. So they're hearing the word. You are the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You're the apple of God's eye. You know, so great is he who's in you that is in the world. We have to remember that the scripture says the earth is who? The Lord's. All of they who dwell in the earth belong to God. Everything in the earth belong to God. God can shift anything he wants to anyone he wants, whenever he wants. And when you realize that God is your source, you don't look to man. God will use man to bless you.
Listen again.
If God has given me an assignment, he said, I want you to gather these children. I want you to teach them how to worship me through the gift of dance.
And that's what you're all doing.
And I want you to gather 500 children for 2 days, another 500. That's 1,000 kids. I'm not concerned about the building, how I can feed them, or what I'm going to give them, how they're going to get there. I have to, first of all, obey the Lord. Soon as I step out and obey the Lord, the first movement, the space, it was complimentary. I didn't have to pay for it. So step by step, whatever you need, God will give you favor. Psalms 5:12 says, favor encamps around about you like a shield.
You're so
I got a call yesterday, and for the urban kids, the lady said, I got approval. We're going to feed the kids.
Oh, awesome.
So all of these things.
Yes,
that
is how the father's working.
It's a partnership with God. You have a partnership with
right.
God.
That's right. Tell them again.
You see, your partnership is with God, not with man. When you begin to look to man,
you're in big trouble.
They will fail you because
that's why
the same. You got to go to God. So why come
yes.
to you? I go straight to God.
Yes.
Then God will use you because we're changing lives.
Yes.
These children is going to be another generation that will be different. It won't be the one who's going to be corrupt, bribery, hating, unforgiveness. These children will have a clean hand and a pure heart because you've trained them
in
the
right
way of the Lord.
That's right. That's
you
right.
see, so while things might be going bad on one side, you've got a generation that you can raise
yes.
up to
yes,
be
ma'am.
A righteous generation. You see? And then, I'll just give you this little point before my husband come in. We had kids that we have worked with. Some did not make it. Some died. Some in prison. But guess what? Out of them, we have a young lady that was a part of our group. She got herself involved with some other young ladies and spending about 25 years in prison.
Yeah,
but guess what? We taught her to dance. She's in charge of the dance ministry in prison. And she's worshiping and praising God in the prison, serving her time. We send dance costumes for her. They go out to church and minister. And we, my husband, you know, he works at the prison too. Our ministry.
You got, what you
goes
trying
to the
do?
Prison.
Hey, hold on.
Listen, yes, we go to the prison.
Yep.
We have a church service once a month for the boys industrial. We go there, and he helped those boys. He also have the men working with the boys, doing the same thing he's doing at the Madre Davis.
What?
They're teaching them mechanics and different things. So we go and we do these things because, listen, only what we do for Christ will last. Have you ever seen someone go to the grave with a U-Haul with their house and car? No. When you go, you're finished.
Y'all know the perspective of life and the quality of life. You understand? What you're saying to the general public, if you put your trust in man will fail you.
Yes.
But if you put your trust in God, he will provide.
He will provide.
Just start. Listen to me. They getting a lot of stuff approved and connection being made to God just by them starting. So now they might not have the money, but the
it
resources
come
in from different
comes.
Spots. She talk about their girls, some of their in a bucket and a hand.
It
they just
comes.
Run on the grocery in the trailer. And then they go on somewhere and they buckle in a hand.
Right.
Lena Hahn is an organization started on my behalf, mm-hmm. of my endorsing the community. And I didn't spend $1.
Okay.
All I did was talk to God. He sent one person to me, Ms. Alexander Millis,
okay.
the former president of the Ron Flea Home. She saw me on with C.B. Moss, and I said that we need to build a community center, and
yes.
if I could get someone to assist me. Now, Ms. Dickens and Mrs. Dickens, we have two. State-of-the-art community centers being built
that's
in the
right.
Grandstand community, mm-hmm. over $1 million.
Oh,
and I
okay.
never spent a dollar.
Okay.
Not $1. So
I
if you're looking
you
to...
Yes,
sir, yes, sir.
That's what
this
I'm saying.
This guy put the community
okay.
center.
That's it. Yes, sir.
Well, you know, we know.
And just to say how you all say, you know, we
yes,
want to stand here. Listen,
listen,
that is God.
God is our
just like
source.
You say 500. How could you get 500 kids? Because God instructs you and you get 500. Because in that 500... there are going to be kids come out of that who God is going to protect
yes.
and help them have a good family life.
Yes.
And in their future, those same kids would be productive
yes.
citizens and serve this country with integrity, honesty. Not like this bunch of crap going on in our House of Parliament.
No.
I sat down the other day and I started to put up, my wife asked me to put a presentation, I was putting a presentation together and I was looking at the young men and the young women who had passed through our lives and see where they are now. Now, I wanted to share this with one person because this is one of my boys, Pudgy.
Yes.
This guy, his nickname is Pudgy.
I think I know.
He's from McQuay Street.
McQuay.
He's played basketball, right?
He used to play basketball.
That's him.
Pudgy was a young man who actually fought in our church. Him and a young man fought while we was having service, right?
A fight broke out
in the church. And everybody tell me, you got to get Pudgy from around. I say, no. If I move Pudgy from around here, I can lose him.
Yeah.
Today, he's a lifeguard on Coco Key. That was his dream,
oh.
to be a lifeguard. And he's now, this is a young man who actually fought in the church. People think I should get rid, but I'm saying to you, when you show these young people true love and concern, you will see change. You will see
it. And that's what I want to encourage. You become their parent.
Right. That's what I want to encourage every Bahamian man. Let's stand up. And standing up means let's take at least one boy and say, I can make a difference in this one boy life. If every man in our country would take one boy, we would see a difference.
Wow. I don't know what to say to you guys. You guys think so much. I don't know how y'all could be married, man. Hey, y'all don't have time for yourself.
Don't worry. We have time for each other.
I tell you what. This is our date night.
That's your date night.
Yes.
So y'all have a good meal tonight.
We try to go there every Friday.
That's good.
From the time y'all got married.
Man, that's awesome.
And that's what couples have to look at. We're going to put one night aside for ourselves.
For each other.
So we come with the radio with you. When we come, we're going to go have our date.
So no grandchildren, no nervous. Yes, you want to.
When we go here, we're going to go have our date.
Y'all going to drink a little bit of wine.
Yeah, so, but that's what it's all about.
So you want to say anything before we go out? Give us a shot of your organization, where if people want to can talk with you guys.
Well, I just want to say that, of course, on Monday the 29th, International Dance Day, we're going to have a whole lot of tourists out there, we know for sure. But if your child is a part of, on the Saturday, community dance, you're welcome to... bring them at the national training. I don't want to go over 500.
Wow. Yes.
Because we do have groups that are there, but they can call us because there might be some space on that. But we just want to encourage those out there. Stop blaming the government. The government is not your source. People get angry because the government ain't give them property. The government ain't give us my license. The government ain't give me no contract. Listen, if the government gave it to you, would you go out there and save a child? Would you go out there and feed a family?
Good question.
What would you have done even if the government do give you, or are you going to spend it on yourself
and
do whatever you have to do? No, let's stop that. God, the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world, and all that dwell in. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I just want to say, because we have this mentality that the government owe us something. Well, if the government owe you something, the government owe all the Bahamians a contract. Or let the government give everybody something. But let's go out and reach our children.
Yes.
Go out and do the work of the evangelist. Go out and touch lives. Some people don't even speak to the neighbor. Come on.
And you're
reach out to people. Reach out to people. And children are heritage of the Lord. So my heart is, look, let's clean up our nation by one, helping each other. That's the whole idea.
Well, in closing, I just want to reiterate, first of all, I want to say, Scrooge, thank you.
It's my honor.
Yes.
For the work that you do in our nation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I really applaud your efforts.
Yes, sir.
I applaud everything you do. And, you know, I cover you constantly in prayer because I know the work you do. But I want to say to our nation, let's put everything aside that is not of God. We've got to put God first in everything in this nation. From the parliament, and I'm speaking from the people in the parliament all the way down to the floor. If we put God first, we put family second, we will see change in our nation. The first institution God created was not the church. It was the family. So we need to focus on the family. And where you are broke, and mothers, where you are single, I want to encourage you to take care of your children to the best of your ability, and do all you can
to protect
your children, and bring your children up in the fear
of the
admonition of the Lord. Get your children back in church, man. Get your children back in Sunday school. Get your children where they can hear the word of God. And if you don't know where a church will, come find us on the park. We'll be on the park somewhere preaching the gospel.
Every week, come find us from one park to the next.
But I want to encourage Bahamians, let's work together for the betterment of our nation.
I want to say thank you, Scrooge. That's my pleasure having you in the studio tonight. You and your wife did such a wonderful job. Mr. and Mrs. Higgins, you guys are being community leaders for over 40-something years in the country. And listen, you guys are more important than the politician and the prime minister of the country. And people have to recognize these things. What you guys are doing are changing the lives of individuals who are living in a, a dark spot and you bring bright light. Mm-hmm. You bring happiness. You bring joy. You understand? You take away their sadness.
Yes.
Take away all my sadness. You know that song? Yep. You know, and you do that. And if we commit, we would see a decrease in this child abuse cases that increased by 87%.
Yes.
Okay? This is the next generation of criminals coming up in our country. And you know what they're going to do? And you know what's responsible? Not the government. No. The Bahamian people.
Yes.
Okay? Then we get you one in every four women a victim of violent crime.
Yes.
You understand? You know who's responsible for that? Not the government. Not the church. Hey, all of us collectively who are not doing nothing, just complaining and not trying to help our brothers, sisters, or talk to your neighbor, or try to make some kind of program happen in your community, we are all responsible. Okay? Mm-hmm. So let's just, you know, pick up the mantle and let's see how we can help one another. The curve, one in four women in the Bahamas is victim of violent crimes. And again, I'm going to close out on this. We spend $7 million on sports event, overspent. Man, we take that money and put in the hands of community leaders around the community so they can give it snipings, help those kids out to become productive citizens, teach them money management, teach them conflict resolution, teach them about family values and family structure, and use yourself, and your wife, as a prime example, and your grandchildren, and say to the nation, this is an example that we need to reconnect in our inner city community across the country. I want to say thank you. You did a wonderful job to all the callers. You guys did a wonderful job calling. We'll see you next week on Guiding Radio. And to the Higgins family, God has blessed you. And he's going to continue to bless you. Let me ask you, how long have you all been together?
How long have we been together?
Well, we've been together 22. We've known each other all those years, but married 22.
Yeah, we've been married 22 years.
22 years.
22 years.
I must have not have a 10 girlfriend. Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Well, we've been working separately and together. You're talking about 40, 50 years.
40, 50 years. Working, wow.
Doing, you know, when I was a police officer, the first person I lock up, I didn't lock my hand and pray for him.
Wow.
I called a fellow in an armory instead of in the name of Jesus, and now he's my best friend.
Yeah, I remember you guys on E Street. Y'all had a chicken shack.
Yeah.
I was a little boy, you know. Yeah. I was a little boy used to come to the chicken shack on E Street, you know. I watch him, you know, and y'all was airway into that dance and stuff. You have contributed greatly. Yes. I want to say thank you for coming on the show. Like I said, this show was designed to help persons like yourself. Mm-hmm. To help persons like yourself who are doing an excellent, tough, difficult, hard job in the inner city community to make the lives better of the Bahamian citizens and to make it a safe place for
children, too.
Okay, so I want to thank you very much and keep up the good work on Ms. Higgins. And anytime you guys want to come on the show and talk about your program or you want to, whatever it is, feel free to just contact me.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work. Yes, and to all the Bahamians who listen tonight, this is a prime family structure that needs to be revented. And the way they think and how they do everything for free. You get everything free, just like I do in the corner. We have all of the same connection. Person who have a passion would never want to charge the less fortunate.
You can't pay me. There's nothing you can't. My value is so high that you can't afford me.
Wow. Awesome.
No.
I mean, need more examples like that. Imagine if we had people like that in politics. You know, we have them in the church. These are two prime examples in the church. But imagine if we had persons like that with that kind of personality and integrity inside our parliament. Where would this country be today?
Yes.
So I want to say good night to everyone and enjoy your weekend. And I also wish that you go and have a wonderful, wonderful time tonight. You all truly deserve it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
See you next week on Guiding Radio. I'm Valentino Brown. Signing out, see you next week on Guiding Radio 96.9 FM.
La 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 la.